Arizona has only been a state for a little over 100 years, but people, of course, have been living in this region for thousands of years. This is evident in the ground stones they left behind that had a variety of uses for the kitchen, for medicine, and even for art. In the next part of our series, Untold Arizona, KJZZ's Tom Maxedon explores the coccinoliths of Arizona.
When people think of Bisbee, Arizona, the mining industry is likely top of mind.
This building was built in 1908. It was restored after a fire. So the original building was 1902, designed by an architect in El Paso.
That's Diana Greige, one of the volunteers who keep the Bisbee Restoration Museum alive. And while a substantive amount of it is devoted to mining, it wasn't the precious mineral history preserved here that makes an impression. I first visited last December and recently returned to find out more about some ancient rocks on display called
Metates. Is that how you pronounce it?
Metates.
These metates, commonly referred to as groundstones by archaeologists, at first seem out of place compared to other artifacts. Dolls and clothing from the early 1900s, taxidermy of a two-headed calf, World War II memorabilia, mining implements, a copper diploma from Bisbee High School, an early personal computer, and familiar kitchens, cocinas from yesteryear. But before this was a record of history, its contents, including the metates, were in disarray.
When I started here, these were scattered all over the building. They were stuck behind things, under things, and finally I found out what they were.
The first time I saw similar-looking artifacts was while I lived in the Marianas, on the Micronesian island of Guam in the Western Pacific. And while the word metate is known by many on Guam because of Spanish colonization on island, the indigenous Chamorro culture use an Austronesian word, lusung. Domenica Tolentino is director of the Guam Museum. We began our conversation with a customary Chamorro greeting.
Half a day, good morning.
Half a day, good morning.
I started by asking her what the word lusung means.
The term itself, it just means a grinding surface. But when we talk about lusung on Guam, in reference to ancient Chamorro culture, it's usually in reference to the semi-portable large boulder. They vary in size, but the most common size that I've seen, at least among our collection, is a circular rock surface of about a foot in diameter. And then the pounding area goes in about 6 inches or 7 inches deep.
Lusung are still used on Guam.
Today, our traditional healers continue to use the lusung to prepare omelet or traditional herbal medicine.
That's Victoria Lola Leon Guerrero, managing editor of the University of Guam Press. Speaking from NPR member station KPRG on Guam, Leon Guerrero says lusung maintains significant traditional weight today because of stories passed down over generations of Pacific Islanders living on Guam.
In oral tradition, it's something that we've always been told is a sacred item, is an item to be respected. And it's one of those things that's just always sort of visually in your mind when you picture the tools that our ancestors used.
Leon Guerrero says archaeologists have dated use of stone lusung in Chamorro culture back about 1,000 years, but there was likely a wooden precursor. Back in Bisbee at the Restoration Museum, Diana tells me how the groundstones on display there were utilized, depending upon the shape and characteristic indentations.
The ones with the deepest holes were used for the hardest grains, and then the ones that are less indented were for corn and beans and things that were brittle.
The metates in the museum have a variety of unverified dates of use and origin, and that makes volunteers like Diana cautious of her own intuition as a tool for discussion.
When I first saw them, I was a water person myself, and I thought it was from water erosion, that they were underneath a trickle or a waterfall.
And so it's off to Tucson to meet with one of the foremost groundstones experts in the state to explore more about the coccinoliths of the Southwest. This part of the story begins in Tucson, where I met Jenny Adams at Desert Archaeology, a woman-owned company. Adams is a research archaeologist and an expert on groundstones.
And when we call these groundstones, just, you know, for layman's terms, is that simply because these were things that were placed on the ground and you don't find them in a, like a mountainous region or something? What's the terminology?
Exactly. When I first started school, I thought, well, they're all groundstone. Look, they're all found on the ground. But no, it has to do more with the way things are shaped by grinding or that they were used to grind things. But it's really a construct by archaeologists. If you say groundstone to another archaeologist, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
A person who's never seen these, but maybe has used a mortar and pestle in their kitchen, a small version of a groundstone, would that be fair?
That's very fair. Mortars and pestles go all the way back into several thousand years BC. And some chefs will tell you that the best way to do your spices is to grind them up in those stone mortar and pestle.
And that familiar word is tossed out in our conversation, surrounded by stones of all types and microscopes to examine their deeper context.
The other terms for tools used to work food are manos and metates. Mano is the Spanish word for hand. Metates is a different origin word. It comes from the Aztecs.
Adams says she's skeptical of the older dates displayed in pictures of the Bisbee Restoration Museum groundstones. Admittedly, photos alone put her at the disadvantage of not being able to sample them herself. So how does one date the use of a groundstone that may be millions of years old? The answer would take me back to the valley.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I caught up with Craig Fertilness. He's senior archaeologist with Logan Simpson, an environmental consulting and cultural resources firm in Tempe. Fertilness says his work with the Gila River Indian community helped him identify the geochemistry of many groundstones in the Phoenix Basin.
We can analyze it with a technique called X-ray fluorescence spectrometry, which produces a geochemical signature. And from that, we can compare it to the reference database and reconstruct where groundstone from a prehistoric context derives. And what you find is that social relationships among villages were pretty complex, and people were acquiring stone from multiple resource locales.
Leora Newman and her family have been part of the Gila River Indian community for many generations. We discuss metates and the fondness of older ways.
What I remember is that my aunt would grind corn and wheat on those. And also, she would make chili stew with the chili pots that she would grind. And I was just a little girl then.
Newman says the metate her ancestor used was outside the kitchen window and approximately 15 by 12 inches. I was curious what other characteristics she could remember, such as striations or indentations.
Yeah, an indentation in the middle part from them using it all the time.
Newman's daughter, Linda Morgan, also remembers stories of groundstones.
My grandfather also used to talk about the manos and metates because we had some in our yard, like three of them, I think, in our possession at our house. We always kept them outside because that's just kind of where they belong. My mom didn't use it to prepare food. I didn't use it to prepare food. So that tradition for our family ended in the late 40s.
And while such large groundstones may not be practical in the modern era of densely packed cities, smaller metate and mono-inspired mortars and pestles abound in home and restaurant cucinas. For Diana Greige at the Bisbee Restoration Museum, using such tools makes a better sauce.
When you think about mole, there's nothing like a fresh mole sauce compared to a jar.
And while some stories, like verifying the dates of use for the groundstones in the museum, might go unanswered, it's not for a lack of telling their story. For Untold Arizona, I'm Tom Maxedon, KJZZ News, Phoenix.